is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Monday, the first of the week, and today is July 7th. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning as we prepare for our independence. It's several days before our independence. I think Thursday is a holiday, right? I'm kind of excited about that. Today's conversation is going to be about how independent are we? We're going to talk about our independence. What does independence mean? Especially with a number of quote that is circulating in our country right now, it makes you question, saying, what are these people talking about? We're a sovereign nation, right? Every year we tend to have this debate, are we really sovereign? Are we really a sovereign nation? And of course, I tend to dismiss these people and say, these are people are quacks, man, because that don't make no sense. But recently, there was a letter sent to a foreign country official asking for help. And I'm saying, who are these people, man? And of course, the Minister of Foreign Affairs, I have a quote that he responded. I want to play that also in the record after we read this letter. Then there's a quote by our Minister of Health, who said that we have to wait for other countries to tell us what we could do in our own country. So everything is up in the air. And I asked, are we a sovereign country? What does sovereignty mean, man? Should we be concerned, right? There's a number of people who are concerned, say, oh, we're being overrun by different nationalities with different ideas and agendas. But are we a sovereign country and what are we doing? When I say we, I'm not meaning the government. I talk about us, me, you, people listening. What are you doing to maintain our sovereignty, to show that we are sovereign, a sovereign nation, that are we independent of government? Or we got to wait till government save us? Is that a part of being sovereign? That we are hard workers, independent of government? I ain't got to be begging. I ain't got to be, in quote, selling my soul to get ahead. You know, I ain't got to be the donkey. But that's my conversation. I want you to join me in this, right? Are you concerned as a behemoth on whether we are a sovereign nation? Are there any cracks in our sovereignty that we need to challenge? Do we need to push back? Do we need to create a narrative of what sovereignty means that we can continue to move forward to ensure our sovereignty? I'm going to start with Erin Green because I give her some things to read. I love when she reads. Firstly, we're going to start with the definition of sovereignty. You looking for that? That's what you're looking for? No? I see you in your phone. That's why I thought you was looking for that. Because we can start with the letter.
I was looking for that quote.
No. The quote would be in the news thing. You can hear it.
I like to see the words.
Okay. I'll send you the quote too when you start reading. So when you go back on your phone, you can see it directly.
That's all good. Right. So we're going to start with the letter.
Yes, the letter. Go to the board first.
Okay.
And why our Minister of Foreign Affairs was up in arms. And Kermit, as you wait, something I sent you, we can play that right after Erin reads the letter.
It says, yours faithfully concerned citizens of the Bahamas. Nassau, the Bahamas. That's at the bottom.
Yeah,
that's who it's from?
That's who it's from. Blank. I think it's COI, but that's me.
Concerned citizens. Okay, let's go back up to the top. To the Honorable Marco Rubio, Secretary of State, United States Department of State, United States of America. Subject, urgent national security appeal regarding flagrant immigration violations and escalating internal threats in the Bahamas. Dear Secretary Rubio, greetings and peace, justice, and mutual respect. We, the concerned citizens of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, write to you with the utmost urgency as our nation faces an unprecedented crisis, a crisis that threatens the sovereignty, safety, and constitutional integrity of our country and the wider region. It is with deep concern that we bring to your attention the flagrant violations of the Bahamas' immigration laws and the intentional neglect by senior government officials to enforce established protocols. Under the current administration of Prime Minister Philip Edward Brave Davis, there has been a disturbing surge in the arrival of illegal Haitian migrants. A surge that is neither incidental nor accidental, but appears to be facilitated by government policies and shielded under the veil of an unconstitutional and unratified Nationality Act. We can stick a pin there, hey? That seemed exciting. An unconstitutional and unratified Nationality Act.
A particular group continues to believe that our Constitution, or how we interpret the Constitution, is unconstitutional. Yet they haven't lodged any official complaint.
Or like a judicial review.
Review of anything. They just talk about it. Like call
right, because the legal principle is, when a law is passed, like at the bottom of it is like a disclaimer. It says, this law is deemed to be good law until it's shown to be bad law.
Yeah,
which means that it may contradict the Constitution, you know. But since it's been passed, you now have to show that it contradicts the Constitution and show that it must be repealed in part or in whole, right? To make sense, essentially.
Yeah, they're not doing that, though. Okay. They just like to bring it up.
Right. So according to national news reports and immigration data, hundreds of undocumented migrants continue to land in wanted access to public services and even documentation without the constitutional scrutiny that should be required. These actions represent a grave breach of our immigration sovereignty and national security posture. Let's stick a pin there, too. It's exciting words. Additionally, we are witnessing a drastic rise in crime associated with undocumented migrants, including 1, illegal coal burning by foreign squatters who set fires in protected forests to produce charcoal for survival and commerce, damaging ecosystems and violating land use laws. 2, an alarming increase in armed robberies, assaults, and homicides often reported in connection to undocumented persons. They could have had some stats there. We continue reading. Reports of sexual violence and the breakdown of law and order in rural and urban communities directly linked to overstretched immigration enforcement. We are particularly concerned about intelligence, both formal and community-based, which suggests that high-powered military-grade weapons have infiltrated the streets of the Bahamas. These weapons are in the possession of unauthorized individuals, including foreign nationals, with credible indications that militia-style groups may already be operating within our borders. What do you mean by credible information?
Made-up information? But go ahead.
We continue to read from the letter. In one recent case, the Royal Bahamas Defense Force and police were unable to fully trace or recover these weapons, and government officials have failed to implement nationwide countermeasures. Our citizenry now lives in fear, not just of criminal actors, but of a potential insurrection fueled by neglect and lawlessness. We respectfully infer that the Davis administration has abandoned its constitutional obligation to defend the territorial integrity and lawful citizenship standards of the Bahamas, opting instead for political accommodations that threaten regional stability. These actions or willful inactions violate the Bahamas Immigration Act and stand as an affront to our sovereign laws, our Constitution, and the safety of our people. Request for immediate assistance. We urgently request the attention and assistance of the United States government in the following areas. 1, technical and logistical support to track, intercept, and dismantle arms trafficking networks currently affecting the Bahamas and the wider Caribbean. Can I stick a pin here just for a moment, Mr. Newry? Who are you requesting for immediate assistance, but who are they going to assist?
The audacity. I know you're stuck.
I want to say it properly, because you call the U.S. government and you say, let me show you why my government ain't working out the way it's supposed to. It ain't following the laws. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So we want you to come and assist them.
It sounds like they're asking to be invaded.
That's
to be occupied, I think, is the right word.
I mean,
come under as a protector.
It's a euphemism.
Yeah, occupied?
Yeah, it's a euphemism. Yeah. But it's softer.
It's softer.
Yeah.
The audacity.
Because when you land on the two seas, you bounce a little bit, right? We urgently request the attention and assistance of the United States government in the following areas. One, technical and logistical support to track, intercept, and dismantle arms trafficking networks currently affecting the Bahamas and the wider Caribbean. Don't we already have that with, like, OPBAT?
Mm-hmm.
Two, regional intelligence collaboration to identify and suppress militant or militia formations operating within Bahamian borders. I bet you the government already has an office for that. They have a facility for that. They're already in communication with regional partners and sharing, monitoring and advisory mechanisms on immigration enforcement.
We have that too.
To restore constitutional adherence and human rights protections for lawful citizens and legal residents. In my notes, maybe in that bag, but there's about 7,000 notes in there. There is a story on the status of the Immigration Commission that was that they announced would be launched after the Keith Bell, what do you call that, fiasco? Can I say debacle?
Yes, a good debacle.
Right, and so there's an article on the status of that commission. Okay, again, three, monitoring and advisory mechanisms on immigration enforcement to restore constitutional adherence and human rights protection for lawful citizens and legal residents. Okay, the Bahamian people remain pro-American, freedom-loving, and deeply concerned about the state of our region. However, the current situation demands international oversight and swift action to prevent further descent into disorder. Hold on. The current situation demands what? International oversight? You mean like what's happening in Haiti right now? Because that's what they mean when they say international oversight, you know.
To be occupied. The people are asking for the Bahamas to be occupied by the United States. Finish reading the letter.
Conclusion. As a proud citizen whose service to justice and civil rights, I remain devoted to that same principle. Our movement, the people, now represents a rapidly growing voice among Bahamians who demand lawful governance, the rule of law, and protection of our national dignity. We trust that the United States, our neighbor, ally, and friend, will regard this appeal not as a cry of politics, but as a solemn call for help. May justice and rule of law be preserved between our nations. Yours faithfully, concerned citizens of the Bahamas, Nassau, the Bahamas. Let me just stick a pin.
I can give you 30 seconds to respond to all that.
I only need 3 seconds right now. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. Dear United States of America, you're in the Americas, we're in the Americas, we're all Americans in that sense, right? But no, we're okay. At this point in time, we don't demand nor do we need international oversight or swift action.
We had a response by the Minister of Foreign Affairs. Kermit, get that cue to that response up for me so I can engage the caller, because I see you, caller. But cue to the response by the Minister of Foreign Affairs. He was interviewed. He's shocked, dismayed. And anybody who read this is supposed to be terrified that we have people like this in our country. But as soon as you're able to cue it up, Kermit, play it, so I have Erin listen to this. Because she, one of the sound bites she wants.
2012, it was the battle of the cable television. Who could produce the biggest video on cable TV? 2021, it was social media and WhatsApp. Now we've got AI, which can fabricate people's voices and people's images and put words in their mouth that they don't say. So we have an additional problem. And that, I think, is going to be where the battleground is going to be on this issue. Now, it's a tool. We can't stop people from using the tool. But what we can tell people is to not accept nonsense, patent nonsense. And Bahamian people ought to be discerning about what is truth and what is nonsense.
That's the end of the clip? Oh, I thought I had something longer. Okay, no problem. The clip I wanted was when Mr. Mitchell mentioned...
Let me read it, and then you'll call it...
There's two clips, but yeah, go read that. Go ahead.
Dead quick. Quote. Oh, this phone I got from that local company. Sorry, Mr. Newry, the thing refreshed and it didn't need to. It coming right now. The quote is from Mr. Mitchell. Here we go. Quote, you are addressing a foreign official who has the power of life and death over this country, close quotes. Fred Mitchell, Minister of Foreign Affairs. Now, I imagine that this quote was sort of grabbed on the fly, right? Like he was at an event, maybe similar to what we heard in this the voice note just now. You could tell that Mr. Something, right? He was in his office conducting in a specific interview. When I first saw this quote, Mr. Nuri, you are addressing a foreign official who has the power of life and death over this country.
And by foreign official, he means?
Marco Rubio.
Okay, who's Secretary of State of the United States.
Right, I had no reference to the letter. Mm-hmm. So when I saw this statement initially with no reference to the letter, I could be honest with you, you could go on my Facebook page and see what I wrote. Now, in reference to the letter, mm-hmm. I don't like Mr. Mitchell's statement. I think that he should have been more direct to the point, right? This whole idea of this statement here concerns me. Also, you're addressing a foreign official who has the power of life and death over this country. Mm. I mean, you hear that quote and you read the letter. Y'all two believe this. Y'all believe the same thing, hey? Because this letter suggests that Marco Rubio makes decisions for the Bahamas.
He doesn't?
No.
Let's go to caller and I'll challenge you. Wait, no, I want to challenge
you.
He
doesn't. Bahamian officials make decisions.
And I can let you pull up your notes and challenge you because I can challenge that. And the whole conversation of are we a sovereign state? Get in your notes the Minister of Health and let's see if Marco Rubio have any power over the Bahamas. Let's go to the caller first.
Why you phrase it like that?
Let's go to the caller first. Gosh. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM. Call a girl once. Call a girl twice. Okay, the caller's gone. Sorry about that, caller. You call back 323-6232-325-4316-325-4259. I see the caller's back now.
I just want to say I don't like how you say that, but I can't withdraw from the conversation right now.
No. Go ahead, caller. You're back again. Caller, you live.
Good morning. CA.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Aaron. CA, I with you on this one. You know, Rubio do have, even though Aaron won't be in denial, that's okay, but you, the United States of America, President Trump, who's leader of the free world, do have a lot of say as to how we direct foreign policy in the Bahamas. The mere fact that Dr. Darvall, with us just days away for celebrating the so-called independence.
Days away.
We have to get permission. We have to get permission from the United States to direct their policy in terms of those healthcare professionals. Shows that we are not a sovereign nation. Follow?
Yeah, I follow. I have a read and quote right now.
But I'll say this, you know, you see, because famous if they are and have this open door, open borders concept. Even though we don't have the capacity to even sustain Bahamians right now, she believes, it appears, based on her public commentary, that she believed that we should have an open border system. You know? But I am a database person, I'm CA.
Okay.
The persons who are going to be affected most by this uncontrolled migration problem is the average Bahamian whose kids have to access these classroom spaces that we are running out of. Right now, you have Bahamians living in Golden Gate, for example, have to send their children to Doris Johnson. We on Prince Charles, CC Sweden, because there's no space, classroom space in the immediate areas here. But Aaron don't understand that.
Let me tell you what I understand. Let me tell you what I understand, Duncan. And I can tell you, I'm so glad that you called in today. Let me tell you what I understand. The government could build more schools. Okay? And let's make this point. Marco Rubio doesn't make decisions in the Bahamas. The Bahamian government makes decisions in the Bahamas. The question is whether the Bahamian government is going to capitulate to the demands of the American government. That's it. It's as simple as that. We elect Bahamian officials to make decisions on behalf of Bahamians. And the question is, will those officials capitulate to the United States of America or not? Rubio makes not one decision in this country. Not one. You know who makes a decision to build more schools? The Bahamian government. Do you know who makes a decision to accommodate students in the communities that they live in? The Bahamian government. Do you know who makes the decision to approve multi-billion dollar projects? The Bahamian government. Do you know who looks at the contract and looks at the terms of the project? Who sees how many workers are needed? Who knows how many workers are available in the Bahamas who are Bahamian? And who approves the contract anyway? The Bahamian government. The Bahamian government makes the decisions. And we make the decision of electing them or not.
Okay, I hear all that. Now, before we go to call, because our line is blinking now, I want you to read that quote from the Ministry of Health. This is regarding the Cuban health workers that we have here recently. The Ministry of Health has been negotiating with the Cuban government and negotiating with the workers that we have here on whether they want to stay under the Cuban agency. And I think they came to a conclusion on which option we're going to use. And there was a statement. There was a statement by the Minister of Health that I want to put on the record so that Bahamian people who didn't hear it can know what the statement says. Go ahead.
All right. Cubans want to stay, but government asking U.S. if that's okay. Nassau Tribune, 4th of July.
Say the headline again.
Cubans want to stay, but government asking U.S. if that's okay.
Okay. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Most Cuban healthcare workers in the Bahamas are eager to remain in the country under new contracts directly with the government.
Under new contracts. That's the new conclusion. Go ahead.
Health and Wellness Minister Dr. Michael Darvall said, but the administration is still waiting for word from the United States on whether its proposal meets Washington's approval.
We got to wait on Washington in order to go through with this.
Dr. Darvall's comments came after revealing last month that the government will sever ties with Cuba's state-run medical recruitment agency and instead offer direct contracts to Cuban healthcare professionals currently working in the Bahamas.
So I'm assuming they're not going to get new Cubans, but they're dealing with the Cubans that are here now they're negotiating with. Because I'm not sure if our government can go into Cuba and recruit people without the Cuban government's help. So I'm assuming they're negotiating with the people here.
Or Cubans in other jurisdictions, just not on the ground in Cuba.
Okay, go ahead. But not here, go ahead.
Not there,
go ahead, sorry.
All right. Multiple international reports and the U.S. State Department's trafficking in persons assessments have alleged that Cuba uses coercive measures to control its overseas workers, including confiscating passports, restricting movement, subjecting them to surveillance, and threatening reprisals against them or their families if they defect or criticize the program.
I need you to read that again because the word defect was used inside there.
Absolutely.
Right? And if these Cubans who are here defect, what is the fare? Let's do it again.
Start at the beginning of the sentence. Multiple international reports and the U.S. State Department's trafficking in persons assessments have alleged that Cuba uses coercive measures to control its overseas workers, including confiscating passports, restricting movement, subjecting them to surveillance, and threatening reprisals against them or their families if they defect or criticize the program.
So, do you believe the Cubans who are here who negotiating directly with our government, will that be defecting? Or is that something we should not ask? Or is that something our government is proposing?
See, here's the thing for me. Obviously, it's something that we should ask. I think it is defecting. The question is, will our government defend us from any repercussions for asking these questions in the Bahamas? Because if I was in the States, right? Like if I was in the States and I asked these questions, I could imagine Fred calling me and said, Miss Green, mm-hmm. You know your way home, right?
Yeah.
Mind your P's and your Q's.
Yeah.
You're on vacation.
Yeah.
Come back home safely.
Yeah.
Say what you want.
Yeah. But it seems as if our government is goading Cuban actors to stay here and no longer be under the Cuban government. I call that defecting.
If they're
defecting, defecting though. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Let me say it on record. I agree that if they need to defect for us to have doctors here, let them defect.
Do you remember the movie with Gregory Hines and Gretzky, the NFL, NHL, National Hockey League
hockey.
Champion star, right? I remember watching that movie. Oh, is it Mikhail Baryshnikov or somebody? Mm. Anyway, it was a movie about like a Russian defect into the U.S. And that movie, Defection, was good. That is a good thing in that movie.
Anyway, finish reading because I know the line's floating. And I wait and call it. So bear with us. I won't get through this. I can be quiet now. Go ahead, Aaron.
All right. We continue reading. Nonetheless, Dr. Daval told the Tribune yesterday that whether the Cuban healthcare workers can remain in the Bahamas does not involve the Cuban government. The shakeup in the Bahamas' Cuban healthcare contracts began after U.S. officials warned they could revoke visas for Bahamian government officials and their relatives if the country continued to participate in Cuba's labor export program to hire medical workers, an arrangement Washington argued amounted to forced labor.
Let's stop there. Mm-hmm. I want to reread that because I want to know who the what is the title Rubio Child is again?
Secretary of State.
Who was he, in quotes, threatening? Because it didn't sound like he was threatening me. I want to know why our government changed their mind so drastically. What made them so concerned? What happened? What did Rubio say to them that they say, okay, we got to change?
I can read what they say right here. The next sentence, the shakeup in the Bahamas' Cuban healthcare contracts began after U.S. officials warned they could revoke visas for Bahamian government officials and their relatives if the country continued to participate in Cuba's labor export program to hire medical workers, an arrangement Washington argued amounted to forced labor.
That's serious. I would change the contract too if...
If I was a government, official,
a government official.
And they tell me government officials and their family can't travel?
My wife got to travel. Continue reading.
A leaked 2022 contract published by Cuba Archive showed the Bahamas paid up to $12,000 per month per Cuban doctor, while the doctors themselves received just $990 to $1,200. The remainder went to Cuba's state-run agency, Cuban Medical Services. I translate them. Despite Prime Minister Philip Brave Davis and Foreign Affairs Minister Fred Mitchell additionally downplaying concerns over the pay structure, the threat of visa sanctions forced the government's hand. Dr. Darville has said the country currently employs 3 Cuban nurses and 3 doctors, 2 ophthalmologists and 1 optometrist, along with x-ray technicians, physiotherapists, and biomedical specialists. He has said the government is also stepping up efforts to recruit doctors and nurses from other countries, including India, the Philippines, and Ghana, to reduce dependence on any single source of foreign healthcare labor.
Mm. Interesting.
It's very interesting.
Mm. That's it?
Yeah.
Let's get these callers in so we can start responding with that. And the question today is, are we sovereign, right, as we march towards our Independence Day celebration? Right, the Prime Minister didn't come to us yet to say what the findings were when they investigate the Cuban healthcare workers' deal. Right, but he spoke on it. The chairman of the PLP spoke on it also, but he never came back. But thank God the Minister of Health responded, and he said he got to be waiting on Washington. Let's go to the caller. First caller, go ahead, caller. Go ahead, caller. You're live. Turn down your radio and you speak, caller.
Yes, how you doing? Let me call for both of you again. Aaron, allow me to follow up on what Cleo Duncan was talking about. In the Bahamas, there's a concept in practice called the illusion of truth. And I think Hitler's spokesperson spoke about this, or his communications person. It says that repeating a lie often enough make it seem true. Now, this doesn't make it true, but rather repeated exposure to information, even false, increase the perceived validity. So now you go to this concept of United Nations that says that education is mandatory, healthcare is mandatory. I think my wife wrote in the newspaper about this. The mandatory does not mean free. That means it's mandatory. We provide education, and it doesn't have to be free. We provide healthcare, it doesn't have to be free. And so it brings us to this concept of, it's called repetition conditioning or operant conditioning. It says an operant condition says that if you have a behavior, even if it's negative and no consequences come, it most likely will be repeated. And what is repeated actually becomes culture. You know what you say?
Like how people drive, because the police refuse to enforce traffic controls. People just act like they're not doing anything wrong.
Right. It's adopted as culture. And so we hear this in education where we hear people say, oh, all of the students in the top of the class are of Haitian descent. Okay, good. We put 30 people in the class. Yes, those three people are of Haitian descent, but the other 20 at the lower end of the percentile drags it down. And so it doesn't put anything in context. There's always going to be a certain level of performance, but we have to look at the whole thing in context. And so so what we're simply saying is that if we are to operate under this sovereignty, even with a calling for the U.S., it becomes invalid for the call for anything when you are governing in the proper context of what governance is. It's only time you can make these accusations is in an effective system or a system perceived as being non-functioning. And so the problem we have, we talk about the sovereignty, and 52 years, and we have examples of sovereignty. We have countries who started with the same time as us, with some of the same resources of us, that we now talk about one day we would like to be like Singapore and all of these different things. And we had the same formula. And I can just simply say, so the only thing that may be missing is something that we never seem to want to address is leadership. And this is why we have so much detachment from actually what real leadership is, because we have been conditioned to accept what we got as being the best we have.
That's what I was saying.
Nothing functions in the country.
See, Alan, that's what I was saying. That's what I was saying, that Marco Rubio, Trump, they can't make any decisions in the Bahamas. Only Bahamian politicians make decisions in the Bahamas. And if they decide to capitulate, that's a decision that they made.
Right, but this is where
it's all down to leadership.
Right, but this is where we come to the operant conditioning, because the voices that tells people these are wrong become minor. And you know what they say? Like, let's use an example of people with me. See, Alan Johnson thinks he knows everything. But I just want to think about this, Eden. I mean, think about this, Aaron. If there's 10,000 subjects in the world, and I've mastered 12 of them, you mastered this everything, oh my God, where are you? Mm-hmm. Okay? So I speak to what I'm competent enough to speak on, but then you hear people say, you perform any form of intelligence at the lower scale, which somehow being conceived as the upper scale in the Bahamas, you're considered wanted to do anything. And so people never attack the message, they begin to attack you. When the easiest thing to do is when people like me, Cleaver, anything come in, attack the message and show us where we are wrong. And then the next time you speak, you say, remember when they were wrong? And that's what we don't have. We don't have intelligent debate. We don't have any type of these different things. And as we move into the next 6 months, where the world accelerates in the 21st century, if we keep doing these things, you don't have to worry about Haiti and the rest of them. We'll be blended because we'll all be left behind in the same compartment.
Thank you very much. Let's go to the next caller there, Aaron. And I want your response about to the Minister of Health, right? Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM, you are on now. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? I can hear you, caller. You just need to speak. The caller is there. Caller going one. Go ahead.
Yeah, morning. Yeah, I'd like to make a comment and also ask a question. All right, the question is, what's the difference between being an independent and being a republic? And the downside of both. And also, the statement is, I thought the Caribbean was united in the CARICOM. And if they are united in the CARICOM, how is it that when the U.S. sent out a warning to the Caribbean nations, which include all the Caribbean nations, in connection with the Cuban doctors, how come we didn't stand as one? How come we didn't let CARICOM deal with that rather than every individual country trying to scramble around looking for their best interests?
Okay, just stay tuned. I could try answering some of that. Okay, good. Thanks very much for the questions. Okay, we are a monarchy. Democracy means that we have a king or queen, and we have democracy, able to vote for our leaders. A republic is a system of democracy where they vote for a president, and the president is the begin all and all. In the Caribbean, they have a quasi-republic where their president is not necessarily in charge. They have the president acts like a governor general. Their prime minister still They carry, they follow the same democracy that we follow, just that they have a an elected president who serves as like the governor general. That's Trinidad, that's Barbados. Mm-hmm. The nearest republic that I can think of may be Haiti, that has a president and they have a prime minister. But the president is in charge of the company of the country.
I think in maybe call it in the context you ask in, but in this in our context, independence signifies or is the separate rule.
Mm-hmm.
Republic is your own constitution.
Yes,
right.
Well, we have our own constitution.
No, we don't.
You don't have our own constitution.
No, and that's the distinction.
Just tweaked it.
Go ahead. This is where the semantics is important.
Go ahead.
A republic, you create your own constitution. Mm-hmm. You don't tweak what they gave you. You don't remodel it. You mm-hmm. you create your own constitution, right? You construct yourself from the ground up. Independence, I think in the regional context, the comparison, independence is you
sovereign governance.
Independent from the colonial power.
No, you're independent and independence. They're two different meanings, no?
You're independent. Independence is you're independent from the colonial power that once ruled you. But republic, becoming a republic, mm-hmm. is construction of your own constitution.
Hmm.
What's implied is that those countries that gained independence, right, were given a constitution. They use India as an example, right? While Independence Day commemorates freedom from British rule, Republic Day marks India's emergence as a self-governing nation with a constitution of its own.
Mm, interesting. But it's still part of the Commonwealth. India. Yeah. Like Australia, like Canada, and all those. Call, I see you. We're going to take a quick break. Guiding Radio AM, we're talking about independence, independent, and now sovereign, and question where we stand. Especially in this lot of rhetoric going back and forth, people writing letters, people sitting waiting on Washington to give us directions. Hopefully we answered the caller, previous caller query. But let's go to a quick break and come right back. Guiding Radio AM, C.A. Nuri, thank you very much, Aaron Green, who's with me.
Junior just showed me Bulla Boy on his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want find anybody quick, after something happen, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows it's you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried it the other day, and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick around the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner today.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
For a medical facility, it's not enough to provide state-of-the-art technologies for the screening, diagnosis, and treatment of catastrophic illnesses like heart disease, cancer, or kidney failure, nor to have certified specialists for advanced medical procedures, a hybrid surgical and interventional suite, nor support services like imaging, lab, and pharmacy under one roof. The Medical Pavilion Bahamas makes them all affordable via its partnered care model. The Medical Pavilion Bahamas, 72 Collins Avenue. Telephone 356-6666.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
In these very difficult times when crime is on the increase, you don't need to waste money on imitation security. Get the best at Wemco Security, the company you keep. Don't delay. Call today or visit their office at 32 Collins Avenue, across from Columbus Primary School.
Family life is full of joy and challenges. With a Fidelity personal loan, you can handle life's surprises while focusing on what matters most. From home renovations to unexpected expenses, our loans are fast, reliable solutions to any problem life throws your way. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. We're talking about independence, the Bahamas independence. As we march towards our independence, will be out on Thursday, July 10th. We're kind of excited about it. Aaron's still making noise about, did we get the 50th
independence expenditure report? We need to know how much money was spent. Very, very important, Nurisi, because in the same conversation we're having about whether we are a sovereign nation or not, right? Mm-hmm. We have this conversation right now. It is not unreasonable for citizens to ask, hold on, you worried about sovereign nation. Is this a plantation? Because I keep asking my government not just to tell me how much money they spend in, but to follow the rules that have already been laid out as to how they should tell us how they're spending our money, and they just refuse to over and over again. So it's difficult to tolerate conversation, and I'm not mad at you at all, but it's difficult to tolerate conversations about sovereignty mm-hmm. and independence mm-hmm. when we're not asking some fundamental questions like, is this a plantation?
I'm not sure.
Why do we have to look at state actors prance around in their beautiful clothing and smile, and we must celebrate them, but they refuse to do the work of governing?
Let's go back to the caller as we celebrate Independence Day. We are an independent state.
The thing look good, though, you know. Like, they always look good. That's why I'm mad, because they always look like a statesman.
Yeah, this is a nice dress. Go ahead, caller. Guided Radio.
Hey, C.A., how you doing, sir?
Doing well, sir.
Miss Green, how are you, ma'am?
Good, thank you, sir.
Aaron, chat's in great. Thanks for my transportation.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hey, it's a very interesting conversation. I hear C.A. sometimes, and C.A. sounds like he would want to wear the traditional British garb. No, nothing against Aaron, you realize that we've had the authority, or not even authority, we were granted privilege for internal self-government from, like, January 7th, 1964?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
And the British at that time, they would deal with everything external. You deal with your people on the ground, and I'll deal with the rest of the world for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
First premier, what's the name? Simonet, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then, when we have this independence conversation, why is it necessary? And I grew up in the education system here being told that that the government was a figurehead one, but it's not. As you get older, you read the Bahamian Constitution for what it is, and you see the daily happenings in our what is supposed to be the people's parliament. Bills don't become law without the signature of the king's representative. Mm-hmm. Certain key and critical appointments that impact the governance of the people here, not in the UK. It's with the consultation of the governor general. Does that sound like an independent country to you?
No.
Based on what Nuri said, so come on, I think we need to stop playing these crackhead games. right? And
be
people
want to
call it. Let me finish my point. Please.
Yeah, no, no,
like, right. Like a conspiracy theory. That doesn't make sense. The people use their right as citizens to vote to elect Bahamians, mm-hmm. because only Bahamians by law could run for parliament. And then we, in turn, just pass that over in appointments and rules that govern us to the UK? Come on, man.
But before you go, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here, sir.
What would you call us?
What would we call us?
Yeah, what would
Aaron used the word plantation.
Nothing wrong with plantation.
It was interesting. I watched the documentary, hold on, CA, mm-hmm. where here's the verbiage that they use.
Mm-hmm.
We became an independent country within the British Commonwealth.
Yes. Like,
that's
like,
not truly independent.
Y'all thought
like Australia.
Y'all thought they were joking when
and
they
Canada.
Said the sun never sets on the British Empire.
Let's stop this farce, man. If we're independent, show us the proof. The Constitution, and it's sad that we don't read it, outlines and it tells you that you are not. Every Wednesday when these guys are debating, when bills are passed, every 5 years when we appoint government officials, everything about that process says you are not independent. The Governor General, who is the King's representative, has to approve these appointments. And it never became more clear than when Loretta them did the thing with the fella. What they had to do, go to the Hill to meet with the Governor General.
Oh, you mean the coup? I thought you meant the slap.
Yeah.
I thought you meant the slap, not the coup.
That has to be signed off on. That is not an independent country.
I have one more question for him. Do you believe we are less independent than a country like Trinidad and Barbados that has now a figurehead?
No, that's a moot point. We are not independent, period. Let's forget any comparisons. If we're truly a sovereign nation, then we can really act and act or make decisions that are going to be truly beneficial, not worry about Rubio, where we fall in. Who knows what happens behind the scenes if we're really not independent?
My Mr. Gray, listen, we got to go, but you have inspired me. You know, I talk in independence tomorrow on Wednesday. If y'all find me on the internet, I could be talking independence on Thursday. We talking it. I didn't say we achieved it. We talking it.
Mm-hmm.
These are excellent points.
Thanks very much, Ms. Gray.
On the table,
my pleasure, man.
That you have to explore.
Let's go to the next caller then.
Hold on, producer, I need you to play Wild is the Wind by Nina Simone when the show, because I have to show these boys.
Let's go call the Guardian Radio AM. Go ahead.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Morning. And thank you, Mr. Green. Thank you, 52. How you doing?
Yeah, I'd like to thank that caller too. He has independent sense, all right? Not dense, right? That's what we need. Now, there's a number of issues that I was hearing from the last show to this show, right? I see the naivety in some of the ideals because no one is looking at it objectively, right? And so, Ms. Green, you and CNU, you know, I respect you all. I would like for you all to do a show, juxtapose independence with the show on the United Nations, explaining the six organs of the United Nations, in which you have the UN Security Council, the General Assembly, then the International Court of Justice, then the Economic and Social Trustee Council, and maybe one I forgot. But what I'm saying is that these organs, when you look at them, and then when you do the whole history of the United Nations and see who donated the land, and the influence of the developed world as far as they sit predominantly on these councils, et cetera, et cetera. And then you will see the reason why the nations and the Arab nations and some African nations early on were reluctant to join the United Nations because it says in the literature that they were afraid that these unified countries would infringe on sovereign rights. So, I mean, this is for people who really don't read, you know. But what I'm saying is the gentleman who called, I agree with him wholeheartedly because I know what independence is. So remember, when I started the conversation with Rossi, he reminded me of the internal self-government. That is more like what I see. But for me to sit and suggest that there's independence, and then I'm very naive. And so, you know, just do a show on that. But what I'd like to comment on is something everybody's missing amidst the migration crisis. Now, me living in the city, I have a lot of... in order for you to find this, you know, with me, right, Aaron, all the Haitian Bahamian guys in Wegobit, they know me. You come into the community, you ask about people, and I ask them if I ever treat them any differently. I used to give them lunch money. I used to talk with them. They used to do things for me. And so we were real friends. So I'm not hearing anything about the anti-Bahamian rhetoric. I don't like none of the rhetoric, Ms. Green. You understand, given that this is where I live. But my real problem is, what Cleaver said was datifying. And so you're correct. The government could build more schools. Fools, right? Now, what happened is they won't do that. But you want to let the Haitians come from their big yard to come to this small yard, and then you're not datifying anything and quantifying everything, and then say we need this amount of schools in this area and this area, and then we could divide the demographics of the youth. But I want to get this in, very important there.
Yeah.
Yes, but the real concern is that everybody's missing. the government is at fault because they've allowed parallel societies to exist. So by me saying pass the Shanty Town Act, it's not showing no kind of hatred for no migrants. Listen to me, land ownership is wealth. This is why the Pope divided the world in half after Columbus come and gave them the whole rundown on the new world. Because they knew land ownership is wealth.
Just that as above, so below, not just parallel communities, and it would be called like the lower classes, straight up the board. Straight
yes,
up the board.
Yes, yes.
From
yes,
the Albanese yeah. to
I
the life of
being outdated.
Hold on.
You saw the
notice or the thing for the community the country club out South Ocean?
No, I didn't. I didn't see it. I'm kind of busy sometimes.
I know what you're saying.
I want to relate. I want to make something as far as the gene pool. If somebody didn't contribute it to the gene pool, that doesn't make them a fool. But maybe they should instead of talking. So you're part of the problem, but you have the solution. You know, I just don't get it. You know, I'm a fool because I only have three children. You understand me? You see the little soldiers and the little daughter. But I'm saying is, I have to care for them. I have to work hard and do what I have to do. But what I'm saying is, the numerology is not a problem. It's for the fact that the government have allowed for decades to allow the migrants to settle on the land and get away with things that should be inherently for Bohemians. So then you the squatting of the land is the only one of the biggest problems I have, because I said land ownership is wealth. When they shared the world now and colonialization, and now you see where they subsection of the land and sell it as parcels of land for monetizing. It's a billion-dollar industry. Land ownership
is wealth. Let me squeeze this next caller in.
Grants, Ms. Green.
Thanks so much. Let me squeeze this next call in. I mean, I always enjoy what he's saying, but I just need to get everyone in before we over. Go ahead, caller.
Plus, I get text read.
Yes. Good morning, Cecil and Aaron. How are you doing?
Good, well, thank man. You.
Okay, thank you for coming to me, Cecil. Mm-hmm. Look, I don't agree that the Bahamas is not independent. I don't agree with that at all, right? When you consider some of the arms that has to go into the consideration of independence, we think about food security independence, right? Which we are not, right? We think about political decision-making independence. We think about healthcare independence. We think about educational independence. We think about military might, right?
Mm-hmm.
No one nation on this planet is completely self-reliant or completely independent. We all, in one way or the other, have to commingle, collab, and depend on each other. Some nations less than others, but we all have a certain level and degree of dependence. But we are independent in and of itself, as the word calls for independence, although
okay.
we are dependent.
We'll have you call back and talk with us again. I enjoy what you're saying too.
But here's my thing. We're so independent. Get the doctors. Find them. Why is it taking you so long to find them? For 20 years, you've been talking about finding doctors. But under the threat, we still haven't found them yet.
You're squeezing his text.
Good morning, Aaron and Yuri. I pray the Bahamians are able to remove the party lands and truly see the very telling revelations surrounding the Cuban employment program. A recent release said that the sovereign Bahamian government is awaiting review and approval from another country on a solution to the matter. What is so horrible about being stuck here that would make our politicians pucker? Cozy up, lotion up. Okay, I got you. Text, another text. It is clear to me that. It is clear to me that the U.S. justifiably does not have complete trust in our armed forces. Ooh, that's a heavy text. Texter. Here we go. One, we are all Africans. On those staggering social statistics, you must be serious enough to deal with it. Boy, I tell you, only me care about Fox Hill. Texas, we could get to that. 12 million versus 400,000. Little Haiti and Miami is huge compared to our islands. Wake up, Bahamian. Happy Independence Day. Listen, if y'all don't turn around and look at the cruise industry to your right.
Okay. Anyway. Tomorrow is going to be a great day. We can talk about this and continue the conversation. This has been Guardian Radio. AM is 12 o'clock. That means the news got to come on. That means we got to sign out on time. Thank you very much, Aaron Green. Tomorrow we're talking independence. Are we independent or not? Right? Especially with these strange talks, people talking. But I think we're independent. Maybe not enough. We need some more independence. It's not a bad plantation.
It's 12 o'clock. I can't say nothing, man.
This is good.
Stop.
I gone.
Stop baiting.
I gone. Guardian Radio AM. Enjoy the plantation.
I mean, thank you for having me on the show, Nuri, but I don't know about that.
Hang us up.
Pick up a tourist the other day, paradise.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app. Nassau, Bahamas.